Okay, welcome to this episode of Introducing the Azure Bot Service. My name is Jeremy Thake. I'm a senior product marketing manager that looks after the Azure Bot Service. And here with me today, I have Lars. Welcome, Lars.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'm Lars Ledeen. I'm a principal SDE from the Bot Framework team.
Cool. So, you know, this is a really cool episode to be part of. It was really exciting to kind of get this out there into the Azure world. But I guess my question, which I'm thinking everyone's going to be asking, is, you know, why bots? Like, I've been a web developer for a long time. I've been told now to get on this mobile bandwagon because that's where things are. And now we're saying, let's go build bots as well. So when you're talking to developers, what kind of things or reasons and value prop do you give of like building a bot for your organization?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I had kind of a personal revelation. I'd been working on the bot framework for a couple months at the beginning of this year, and I walked into a hardware store and I needed a particular item, no idea where it was. So I did what you typically do. I walked up to the sales associate and I said, "Hey, where can I find the blah, blah, blah?" And she pulled out her phone and said, "Hey, have you checked out our app?" And she typed in the item, and sure enough, it told me exactly the bin and the item, or the bin and aisle where the item was. And I thought, "Hey, that's great." And then I thought, "Am I going to install that on my phone? No way." And I think that's the particular problem that we're trying to solve.
And so what would happen as a bot if that was in a bot kind of way rather than a mobile app on a phone?
Exactly. So the problem with apps is that the user has to go out and install them on their phone. And realistically, people use maybe 5 or 6 apps on their phone. So you've kind of got a small number of apps and this long tail that people never use. O'Reilly has a great bot podcast, and they brought up a statistic in one of the podcasts that 20 of the developers on the iPhone actually get 50% of the revenue. So there's a few apps that are consuming everything. And also, as it turns out, most people spend most of their time inside chat apps when they're on their phone. Yep. So a much better situation is, hey, I'm inside of Facebook, I'm inside of Skype, I'm inside of Kick, whichever service I'm in, and I can just say, where are the light bulbs? And the bot responds to me and tells me where it is. More ideally, if I'm at a different hardware store, it passes it off to a different bot and gives me the answer for that hardware store. Or if in my car, it passes it off to a bot that tells me, hey, here's a nearby store where you can buy light bulbs. It gives you a lot more power. And as a developer, you know that developing apps across platforms is very painful. If you have to build an iOS app, an Android app, a desktop app, a Windows Phone app, it's a lot of work. What's great with bots, you build it once, and it's everywhere. You don't have to worry about compatibility. You don't have to worry about all the junk you have to worry about when you're building apps. So it just makes your life a lot easier.
And so I know you mentioned the Microsoft Bot Framework. What kind of things, how do you get started in building a bot? Mm-hmm. There seems to be lots of different options out there. What's kind of Microsoft's story there?
Yeah, so you know, we spent a lot of time talking to bot developers over the last year. And there's essentially two things you do when you buy a bot, build a bot. You have your bot part where you put your intelligence, and then you have connecting your bot to the various services working to get exposed to the real world. And the feedback we've been getting is most people are spending 80% of their time in that muck trying to hook their bots together to all the various services, when what they really want to be doing is spending their time working on building the actual bot. And it's difficult. If your bot, you might want to expose it on SMS, on email, on Slack, on Teams, on Facebook. There's all of these different channels that you can connect to. And the challenge is that each one of these channels works differently. Some use webhooks, some use WebSockets. They all have different auth procedures. And just writing that muck to connect to your bot is a huge amount of work. On top of it, they all have a very different feature set. So you need to understand the feature set of each one of these channels and figure out what's the best way to render your bot's output on that particular channel. On top of that, they all speak different languages. They all have different schemas. They define buttons and keyboards and carousels differently. So you kind of have to learn the language of all of those different channels, and your bot has to be able to talk to them all. And this is an enormous amount of work. You can spend most of your time doing this connect part rather than actually building your bot.
And I guess the key for a bot is you want to be on all those channels to get as much broad reach as you can.
Yes, exactly. So one of the features of the bot framework is we have a bot connector. It exposes a REST API, so you only need to speak one schema, and then we translate it to all of the various chat services out there. We also handle all the auth. We also keep track of, okay, how's the best way to render this particular card on this particular channel and render it as it might look best on that channel. The other thing that makes it difficult is because this is such a fast-moving area, the capabilities of these channels are changing really quickly. So we keep on top of that. We update our rendering so you don't have to think about that. And if for some reason we don't keep up and we're fall behind a particular feature, we still allow a back channel, so you can still send native JSON through the bot connector, so you can take advantage of those features on any channel as soon as they're available and don't have to wait for us to catch up.
All right, that's really neat. So you've kind of got that failover of if some feature is root comes online and you want to start leveraging in that particular channel, you can.
Exactly. Because we don't want to be an impediment to any of our developers. We want to make sure they can constantly use the newest and greatest features across these various channels.
And we're finding like those channels are more on like mobile phones and so forth, but is there a notion of being able to embed those chat interfaces directly into a web page that maybe you already own that's available in the wild as well?
Yeah, very good point. So one thing we found working with enterprise customers, customers such as banks, they really don't want to use channels that aren't secure, or other enterprise customers really want to control their brand, so they want to have a chat window within their own website or within their own app. So one of the connectors we provide is called Direct Line, which allows you to integrate to any custom chat application that you like. Right. And additionally, if there's a channel that we haven't integrated with yet, you can use Direct Line to integrate with that channel.
Cool. Okay. So how do we get started?
Well,
would you like to show us a quick demo of that?
Yeah, sure. So the one thing that we also provide on the build side is what we call the Bot Builder SDK. It's available in Node and C#, and it's an open source project, which is fantastic because we're getting feedback from the community all the time about how to make it better to build a bot. So let's dive right in here. So we have a template you can install for Visual Studio. It makes it very easy to create a new bot. So I can do
And is
new.
That through an MSI or is it through like the Visual Studio Gallery, or how do they get that down?
There's install procedures you can find on the web that'll show you how to install it. But I can see right here I've got a bot application. Let's just go ahead and create this. I'm going to call this test bot. And what now I'll get a very simple echo bot. So I'll get a bot that I can talk to and it'll talk back to me. The other really cool thing that we provide is this bot emulator. One of the things that happens if you're developing a bot, if your bot is exposed on say Slack or Skype, etc., you can see what your bot responds, but you can't really see easily what's going on in the background. So we provide a way for you to do all your work on your local machine, test your bot to see how it works in a channel, get debugging information, and get that all polished before you push it out to any of the services.
Cool. Would there be a difference depending on which channels you go to on the way they show their cards and so forth? You just kind of do it in a generic way?
Yeah, so we kind of are the Uber channel, if you will. So we support all of the features. Now, other channels support subsets of those features. And we have what we call the channel, you can call it the channel viewer or whatever, inside of the bot framework on the website that'll show you how all the various cards render in the different channels. So you can see what it looks like when you try to do, say, a hero card on Kick versus a hero card on Skype.
Cool.
Okay, so I've got this project now. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but essentially, at a click of a button, I can start that bot running. And you'll see it come up on localhost in a second here. Okay, there we are. And now I'm going to talk to my bot. I can say, hello there. Oh, sorry, I need to clear out my app secrets for this. Okay, there's my bot. All I'm doing is counting and repeating back the number of characters.
Okay.
The nice thing you can see here is we provide this debugging panel, so I can see all the calls that are going back and forth, and I can click on any single message and see all the JSON that's being passed back and forth from my bot to the service. Nice. So this is invaluable in doing debugging, a very powerful tool. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this way of creating a bot. We already have some other videos that talk about how to build a bot as a service. What I really want to talk today about is the bot app and Azure Functions. So let's dive over into that.
Yeah, sure. So when we talk about the Azure Bot service, which is now available in preview, there's a few kind of key features to it. The first is really that as Lars has just shown, like there's a great way of kind of grabbing all those tools and running them locally to get things going, but there is that inherent next step to kind of publishing that somewhere for it to be run.
Exactly.
And so what we're looking at now is this notion of being able to accelerate that development by running this thing with inside the Azure portal. And so for existing Azure developers, it's very simply kind of going and search for the bot service, and it will appear as a new blade to go create one of those new ideas there. But we have some QuickSart templates there as well, which is really useful. But as you mentioned, it kind of benefits from the Microsoft Bot Frameworks. All those connectors, mm-hmm. Channel connectors that we talked about will be available there, and we'll get that in the demo. And the direct line support is all kind of natively supported there as well. And obviously you can embed that web chat directly into the website. But the benefit of this is that it's built on top of Azure Functions. So in your opinion, like, what are the key things there that you feel valuable for a developer or even the ops team that's running this bot from an Azure Functions perspective?
Well, the great thing is it's serverless. So that means you're only paying for the resources you use versus if you're running an entire web service. The other thing is you don't have to worry about scaling. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. The functions, Azure Functions take care of all of that for you. It's just done out of the box, easy. You don't even need to think about it.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very valuable.
And in terms of the templates, like, I hear this thing, Lewis, quite a lot. And
yeah.
I've seen that written a lot in blog posts and so forth. What is Lewis, and how does that work for a developer?
Yeah, Lewis is a tool to help with natural language understanding. Essentially, best way to think of it is, imagine you build a bot that's to help you navigate your directory of people working at your company. You might want to ask the bot questions like, who is blah? You know, where does Sue work? What is Erica's phone number? The who is, where does, what is the phone numbers? We call those intents. That's what is the user asking for? What's the intent? And then the John, Sue, and Erica, those are the entities that get extracted. So what a system like Lewis does, you pass it natural language, it comes back, tells you which intent it believes it is, and extracts the entities from that. And it's very powerful in creating a bot that can talk in natural language.
So as a very simplistic bot, you might use case statements and expect certain text questions to work. This really kind of makes that a lot smaller in the way
exactly.
You get down into your various routes.
Yeah, so traditionally developers have used regex to do this. The problem with regex is it's very, very brittle.
No,
it's
also one's ever liked regex.
Extremely hard to debug. This uses machine learning in the background, so it's very powerful. It extrapolates from a set of examples, and it's really pretty impressive. Like, I'm kind of stunned at how well it works.
Right.
And I'll walk you through an example of that
too. That's awesome. So do you want to get showing us how this all works in Azure?
Okay, so here we have the Azure Bot Service. It's in preview, and I'm gonna go ahead and create a new bot. So let's create a bot called Stock Demo Bot. Looks like that name's taken, so I'll call it Stock Demo Bot 2. I'm associating with my MSDN subscription. And let's create it. Now this will take a couple of minutes.
And that's basically under the covers is creating a function app that
it's creating
the bot service is running on top of.
Exactly. It's creating a function app, creates an App Insights solution for you, creates a storage account for you. So it sets up a whole bunch of stuff that that you need for your bot. So now this bot has been deployed. Let me update my dashboard here. Okay, it's not really met. Stock Demo Bot 2, there it is. Okay, so now I need to create keys for my app.
And what's the keys for? What does that do?
The keys basically create a Microsoft app. It's how you how you access your app, how you get permissions for your app with all of the various services that you're going to use.
Oh, okay. So it's like the identity for the
Yeah, exactly, the identity for the bot. So again, it's pretty easy. Just go in here and create a key and...
And for people familiar with the Microsoft Graph, this is how you would go and create
exactly,
app ID
exactly.
for the Microsoft
exactly.
Graph as well. But we've made this super simple now with just a button clicks.
Yep.
I think the key is you've got to remember to copy and paste that
exactly,
password.
Exactly, because you will need this later. So I can go back to the bot framework, paste in the key I just generated. Now I can choose, there's two different sets of templates, one in C# and one in Node, and then a set of different templates you can use, everything from a basic template, one that uses forms, Proactive, which I'll talk about later, Lewis, Q&A Maker. Let's start right now and just do a basic bot. and I'm going to go ahead and create the bot. Now this is now it's going out and it's allocating everything for me. This can take a couple minutes to get through.
Right. And again, that's pulling down all the files that are required as a base template that if you're in a local development and wasn't using this service, you'd have to go
exactly
generating things.
Right, exactly. So this, you know, even though you have a couple minute wait here, it saves you an enormous amount of time of things that you'd have to do manually if you're actually using a normal web service.
And so while we're waiting for that, in terms of the cost of this on the Azure service, because it's running on Azure Functions, where essentially the billing of the consumption plan of Azure Functions is per execution of a function and the memory usage over gigs per second. So with a chatbot, essentially it's every time a message comes into that bot and the message responds.
That's correct.
Is the equivalent of one function execution.
Correct.
The average bot's not going to be doing a million executions of a function unless it's a really popular bot.
It's a good problem to have if you have it, right. Yeah. So basically this allows you to create a bot, get it up and going with essentially no cost. So
right.
Until you actually hit the, you know, breakthrough status where your bot is hugely successful, you're not really paying anything,
right,
which is
right,
great.
Right. And so, you know, even if it does hit that million, it's 20 US cents right now on the pricing page. So, you know, to get these things going is kind of an easy thing to do.
Okay, great. So here I've got my basic bot. Showing up inside of Azure. I'm just going to go, same bot we had earlier, but now running as a function. I'm going to go ahead and type hello. And you can see it says hello. So now let's dig in and actually look at the code and see what's going on. What I have here under echo dialog, I am capturing the message that I got, received the message. I'm looking for a particular command called reset. We'll not talk about that right now. But I'm basically just passing back a count of the number of messages that have been sent and then repeating the message back, you said hello. To show you this, let's say you said hello. Happy, joy, joy. Hit save.
Just cut this out.
There we go. Hello, happy joy joy. So basically I make a change, it shows up immediately on the chat window. This is pretty handy.
And so that's handling all the publishing and everything to that bot.
Yes, exactly. Now, realistically, you're probably not going to want to be editing your code inside of a web app. It's just not very efficient. So what we really want to do is get you, this is kind of a stepping stone to get you started, and then we really want to move you over to continuous integration so you can do all that debugging on your local machine. So let's take a look at that. So I'm going to go up here to configure continuous integration. I'm going to download the source that it created for me. Let's go ahead and unzip this. I already set up a, you can use whatever kind of source control you want. I already set up a VSO space for it. So let's go ahead and stick it into that VSO space. Extract all those files. Okay, now I've got all those files in there, so let's go ahead and add them. So I'm going to do a git add star, and then git commit message first check-in, then git push. So now I basically put the code that I downloaded into a repository that now I want to go back and associate with that function. If I really quick, I should be able to go over here to my VSO. If I do a refresh here, I should see the code that I just checked in. Great, it's all there. So now let's go back to our bot and let's set up the integration source. So I click setup.
And for those familiar with Azure App Service or Azure Functions, this is all the
this
same
is all, yep, exactly, all the same configuration you're familiar with. So point it to VSO, pick the project I just used, hit OK, and I should see that deployment building here in just a second.
And so, much like Azure Functions, does this put the editor into a read-only state in the
Exactly,
Azure
exactly.
Service?
So once we've done this, what you'll see is this section over here goes into read-only state.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So now you know, to make changes, you've got to go commit those things
Correct.
Into source control first.
Correct. So let's, I'm going to do this first one. Let's just use Visual Studio Code. So I'm going to open that.
Yep. And there seems to be quite a few files in that project file. Is there, in the documentation, does it give you a good kind of run through?
Yeah, it gives you a run through. The main files you want to look at here are run, and Echo Dialogue.
Okay.
Run essentially captures the messages that are handed back. So basically your bot receives an activity, and then the activity can come in different types. You can get a message, a conversation update. This is all explained in the documentation. The main one we're looking right now is if you get a message. This means your bot received a message from the user.
Yeah.
And then I'm using the Echo Dialogue to generate a response. And the Echo Dialogue was the response, the file I looked at earlier, where it gets passed in a message and then does some processing on that message.
Right. Okay.
So this bot's pretty boring right now. Let's make it a little bit more interesting.
Sure.
So the first thing I'm going to do up here is I'm going to add a new file. Let's call that stock. And I'm going to use my magic fast typing skills.
You are.
So basically what I did is I copy and pasted a simple class in here. And that class gets the stock price from Yahoo Finance using either the symbol or the ticker tape name for that stock. Then I'm going to go back to the Echo Dialogue, and I'm going to replace this thing that echoed back the message with something pretty simple. And basically what I'm saying is take the message that was passed in, pass it into the code I just showed you that returns a stock price, and echo the stock price back to the user.
Right.
So fairly simple. So I'm going to go up here and save that. And let's check that into Git. So let's say stock. And then let's push it. And what I'll see when I go back to the Azure portal is with the continuous integration, I'll get a message down here telling me that a change was made and it's recompiling.
Now, if you wanted to do kind of like a developer staging production of this, you'd have various different repos.
Exactly.
Or branches of the repo. And
correct.
Each bot service would map to a particular branch so you could test your bot.
Yes,
in
yes, exactly, exactly. Okay, so let's try this now. Should have reloaded. I'm going to type Microsoft. Oh, I have an error here, I realized. Let me hop back really quick. I forgot to do an include in my Echo Dialogue.
So I guess the good thing there is that you're actually getting the errors directly. In
yes,
the
exactly,
as well, so.
Exactly. And I'll show you in a minute how you can actually debug in Visual Studio, so you can run locally and do all that. So going back here, my Echo Dialogue. There we go, let's save that again. Bug fix.
It's almost like you meant to do that.
That would have been smart.
And then, so that can go to GitHub or local Git.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It doesn't really matter which source control system you're using.
Again, this is probably not the ideal way you want to do your development. You probably want to do it all locally, but I kind of want to show you this path. Okay, got a warning, but let's try it again. Microsoft. There we go. So let's try another one, GE. So return the stock value. So again, very simple bot, but we're starting to build one that's got some a little bit of meat to it. But what about if someone says, show me Microsoft stock? Of course, this is gonna fail because show me Microsoft stock is not a valid ticker name. So how do we solve it? So that's where Lewis comes in.
Okay.
So let me show you a Lewis model that I've created. Called stock demo. And what you'll see, we talked about intents and entities earlier. I've set up two intents. One is that the user is asking for a stock price. Mm-hmm. To make this interesting, I set up a second one, which is the user is asking to be told about an update on the last stock price they asked for. And then I'm only extracting one entity, which is the company. And I can look at some of the labels that I've trained it with. So what you see here are one of the phrases I trained it with, in this case, what is Microsoft today? The model is 99% sure that my intent was to ask for the stock price, and it's extracted Microsoft as the only entity in the company.
Okay, so you can test these things.
You can test these things. You can train them. You can also go up here and see how it performed on the training to make sure it correctly predicted everything, all the and it correctly extracted all the entities. So you,
right.
And it trains very quickly. And then just to make things interesting, I added a few others down here towards the bottom. I think I've got like 20-ish. Like, how about now means, oh, tell me what the last stock price was that I just asked for. Give me an update on it. Or give me an update. So let's go and see how we integrate the add that to the bot. So I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to add one more class. And let's call this stock dialogue. More fast typing. Okay, what I've created here is a subclass of the Lewis dialogue, and you'll see up here I'm capturing each one of those intents I defined, the stock price or repeating the last stock. Mm-hmm. Each one of these, when you enter the function, gives you the Lewis result, which includes all the entities that were extracted. In this case, when I'm asking for a stock price, I only get one entity back, which is the company that was extracted. So I can send that through to get the stock price from Yahoo and then flip that back. I'm doing one other thing here too, and that is we have a state service which allows us, the user, to save data. This is really handy because basically if you're running on multiple machines, particularly if you're running as a web service and you're not within the functions, you don't have to worry about how that data is being replicated off all those various machines.
Right.
So in this case, what I've done is I'm saving that extracted entity into a key last stock. So that way, if I get the repeat last stock intent, I can go fetch it and display that.
Okay.
Now I'm going to go back into the run.
That's for the particular user that's running.
Yes, exactly.
The chat.
Yep. So now I'm going to go back in. I'm going to get rid of the echo dialogue I used earlier and replace that with the stock dialogue, which is the Lewis one. And I will remember this time that I need to. Okay, so let's save that.
And so I'm assuming in the Lewis like implementation of that, you've got a reference somewhere to that Lewis model.
Yes,
that you've created.
Yes, exactly. So if you look at the top of that file while that's pushing, you will see a reference to the keys for the Lewis model.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
How it knows which Lewis model
to
use.
So each Lewis model, you can go and get the keys and then use that.
Exactly, exactly. So that's where I reference that through. So now, let's go back to my...
Is there a fee to use those Lewis models within the Microsoft ecosystem, or how does that work?
Yeah, there is a usage fee on Lewis. I'm not sure what the various tiers are.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's go back and test and see what our bot looks like. So let's try that again. What is Microsoft stock? It should be extracting Microsoft as the entity. There we go.
Cool.
So let's try, how about Gap? Again, it recognized I wanted stock and Gap and gave me back, versus if I do how about now, also a three-letter word, but it knows that, hey, what I'm asking for is actually repeat the last one. So give me back. So pretty powerful stuff with not that many examples, so pretty neat. So what I'd love to do is dive in and show some other examples of how cognitive services can be employed in this. Rather than going and building all this into the bot, I have a bot that I've built already, and I can go through and walk through and show you how that works.
That's great.
Okay, so let's hop over here. This time I'm going to actually use Visual Studio instead of VS Code. What I'm adding here is one more intent called news. And on the Lewis model, I'm going to use a different one here with a few more entities and intents to make things a little bit more interesting. Now I'm creating what I'm calling a news and stock bot. So I've added a few more intents, or one more intent, which is give me news, and three more entity types. One is the topic of the news, whether the user wants to see positive sentiment or negative sentiment. An example of that would be, show me bad science news. In this case, the sentiment is negative, it's bad, the topic is science, and the intent is news. So that's the bot we're using, or the Lewis model we're using. And if I go back to my code here, I can see what I'm doing. I'm saying, okay, this time I might get three intents passed back. So I go through and I say, okay, is there positive sentiment? If so, grab that. If there's negative sentiment, grab that. And then post my topic to the Bing News service. If I do have positive or negative intents inside, or entities inside my intent, then I filter by those positive or negative entities. And I take the remaining news stories and create hero cards out of them and post that back to the bot. There are a couple things I needed to create to make this happen. First, I needed to create a file that contains the schema for Bing News. I also need to create a file that contains the schema for the sentiment recognition. And then I created one more file here called Cog Services. And this shows you here. Here I'm attaching to the Bing News service. I can pass in a query and that returns news articles in the form of Bing News. And then here I'm attaching to the cognitive services sentiment and I'm passing in a document and it comes back with a score of 0 to 1 for very negative to very positive sentiment. Mm-hmm. And then finally, a little code that translates those numbers into score into words, so extremely negative or very positive. So three classes I added, plus one additional intent covered by the dialogue piece here. So let's go ahead and run this. Go ahead and hit start.
And so this will run it locally on your machine?
Yes, exactly. So in this case, instead of pushing up to Azure Functions, I'm running this locally on my machine and debugging it within the emulator.
Right.
So I need to switch my endpoint here. I'm going to be using localhost again. And I'll say it's to show me Microsoft stock. Great, there we go. But now I can do show me Microsoft News. It's going to trigger the news intent. I just stepped in here.
Yeah, news straight away.
Right, and so as I walk in here, I can see it's going to go through and try and see is there a positive or negative sentiment by changing the news topic in. It turns out I didn't ask for a positive or negative, so it's just going to pass right through. And what I'll get back is some hero cards with Microsoft information. Here we go, some interesting articles about Microsoft in hero card format. But now let's try show me bad news about climate. So again, I'm passing through. It's attempting to see is there positive or negative sentiment, and I'll see I got no positive, but I did ask for a negative sentiment, so it extracted that from what I said. And negative news about climate coming right up. And here we go. What can trees tell us about climate change in the very negative article? So basically, I've now shown you how we have a bot that can both do stock information and do news information and using Lewis to figure out the intents of what the user wants to see.
And so now if you check that into source control and bound that into an Azure bot service, that bot could run in Azure on top of the bot service as
Yes,
well.
Exactly. So if I had this connected to a VSO project, all I would need to do is check in with continuous integration. Same path as before.
Right.
But I'm just running locally here to show how you could do this all in your local machine. A lot easier than trying to, you know, take every change, push it up to Git and edit it within the Azure portal.
Cool, that's awesome. And so, you know, now you've shown all those bits and pieces there with Azure Bot Service. it feels like this is a whole world of things you can get into.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're just scratching the surface here. So we haven't talked at all about multi-turn dialogues. Everything I've shown here is, you know, the user says something and the bot responds back. The bot framework, Bot Builder SDK, supports multi-turn dialogues, form flow, dialogue change. We've looked at one rich UI element here, which is the hero card, but there's a whole bunch of interesting, powerful tools to use. We talked a little bit about the bot state service, so it's just beginning to see all the possibilities.
So one other thing we wanted to show was like how you can connect to those channels really easily. The first time I saw this, I was like, really? Is this all you have to do? So in the Azure Bot Service, what's the easiest way for me to go to this thing in a different channel?
Yeah, exactly. So you just click on the Channels tab here. We automatically allocate the Skype channel for your bot as well as web chat, but you can go ahead and add other channels pretty easy. So let's go ahead and look at that. So for a first party channel like Teams, all I got to do is click Add. Done configuring. Now, you'll see as Teams will appear up here, I can click Add to Teams as the button you'd expose to your user.
Right.
And then, there's my bot, and I can say, show me GE stock, and it's live. So, very, very quick to get a channel up and going.
Great, that's awesome. So essentially you could test it in your emulator or test it within that web chat window, but we can also very easily go do that inside Microsoft Teams or whatever chat channel you want to test on.
Yeah, exactly. And then for third-party channels, it's a slightly little bit more information because I need to get off keys. So
right. For
Kik, for example, I got to click Add. What we do is we provide you instructions for what you need to do to go over to Kik, tell them you want to create a bot,
yeah.
Get keys, and then you submit your keys to the bot framework, and that allows us to post on your behalf.
That'd be similar for Slack. And
yes,
well.
Exactly.
Excellent. And then I mentioned in the last part where you were talking about proactive bots as a form template. What kind of things can you do with a proactive bot?
Yeah, proactive bots are pretty interesting. So let me go up back here. I happen to have one. Let's see. Proactive bots essentially allow you to your bot to reach out to the user without having the user to initiate the conversation. So for example, say you had a case where your bot was a pizza ordering bot, it's the typical one that everybody mentions,
yeah.
And you know, 30 minutes later, you wanna send a message out to the user saying, hey, the delivery person is on his way. How would you do that? Well, you need a way to trigger an event or a bot to send information to the user when the user hasn't reached out to them.
I see, so rather than me going onto my phone and ordering the pizza, you want to be able to reach out to me as the user.
Proactively, exactly.
Okay.
So for a proactive bot, we basically have a trigger function. So so in the example that's provided, it's pretty simple. What we do is when you say hello to the bot puts a message into a queue, and then the entry of that message into a queue fires off a trigger, and then the trigger returns that message back to the bot. It's a very simple solution, basically just trying to show you how it works. It's not actually what you do. It would be based on, you know, some other event like your pizza being ready. But what I can look here is I look at this proactive code. I basically have a trigger. So I have a trigger here that says when a new item ends up in this queue, I'm going to bind my queue item, which is the data, to the input. And then on the output, I have the bot framework, and I'm going to bind that to a message that's being passed out.
So we've got automatic bindings in the Azure Functions interface for those bots.
Exactly. So looking at the code really quick, what I can see is the trigger is the queue item that gets passed in, and my output is a message that comes out of that that function, that trigger.
Nice.
And then if I go back and look at the actual bot, remember early on we looked at the run script file and we were handling messages in there. Well, there's another type of event in here, which is a trigger. So if you recall before, we looked here in our activity type messages, and that's when we called out for our dialogue, which is the one that responded.
Yeah.
One of the other things we have down here is a trigger, and this is what's called when one of those Azure functions, or one of those Azure trigger happens. So here I'm basically saying, get the message from that trigger, and then send that to the user. There's one other important thing here, which is the resumption cookie, and that is your system has to know what conversation to get resume to get back into. So if I look at this bot here, when I create the message, what I do is I'm passing this, I'm putting this resumption cookie, I create a resumption cookie from the message that came in,
sure.
And that's what I'm putting in the queue. So when the message comes off the queue and the function gets triggered, it can match the conversation.
Right,
so
right.
Just really quickly to show you what this looks like, if I say, hello there, what's happening now is that message is being put in the queue.
Yep.
When it gets into the queue, it's gonna fire off that trigger,
yep.
Which is then gonna be handled by this trigger function, and it's gonna be bounced back after a slight delay.
Right, okay. And so depending on what channel you start that on, the resumption cookie knows which channel to go reach.
Exactly, or which conversation. So,
because right.
You could be having multiple conversations. So you can find more about the Microsoft Bot Framework at dev.botframework.com, and you can sign up for a free trial of the bot service at azure.microsoft.com/services/bot-service. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. I'm super excited about this stuff.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Lars. I really appreciate your time. And I'm looking forward to seeing what everyone builds on top of this bot service.
Me too.
Pulling it down on my phone and inside of my machines here on my desktop to chat with bots on a day-to-day basis. So thanks again to everyone listening. And thanks, Lars, for attending.
Thanks, Jeremy.